Dear Cheap Astronomy, is the artificial gravity we see in Star Trek really possible? Well, yes and no. If you spin a spacecraft, you can readily create artificial gravity on the inner surface of its outer wall. But it is pretty rare that science fiction spacecraft generate artificial gravity by spinning. 2001: A Space Odyssey and the more recent film The Martian are notable exceptions. For the most part, science fiction adopts the position of having its actors behave as though they are just walking around on a studio set on Earth, excepting those rare moments when turning off the artificial gravity suits the development of the plot. In those instances, it's implied that artificial gravity arises from some kind of technological mechanism, although it is a mechanism that generates very local effects. After all, when someone exits an airlock from their starship, they almost immediately experience weightlessness and will need magnetized boots if they want to walk around on their ship's outer hull. There's nothing in either Star Trek, or indeed in over 90% of other science fiction, that readily explains what makes artificial gravity work. People walk around inside their respective starships, climb ladders, and also slide down them again, all suggesting that artificial gravity exerts an acceleratory force that draws you down to the floor, even when you are well above the floor. So there's clearly more to it than magnetized footwear. Indeed, whatever artificial gravity is, it's pretty darn effective and surprisingly versatile. A starship can undergo some quite extreme maneuvers, including rapid rotation through 360 degrees or more, without any of the crew losing their footing or their seating, unless, of course, the ship is hit by phaser blasts, at which point everyone must immediately hang on to something to avoid being thrown about the cabin. But let's stop for a moment to think about what real gravity is. It is an extraordinary feature of our universe that if you accumulate and concentrate mass into a small volume, space-time gets bent towards the center of that concentrated mass. So if you are travelling past a planet, you will suddenly find your line of trajectory being bent towards the centre of the planet. Even if you land safely on the surface, you will still find space-time trying to direct you down to the centre of the planet. And as a consequence of that, you can comfortably walk around on its surface. But applying these principles to the generation of artificial gravity in a spacecraft makes little sense, since any concentration of mass will add to the mass and the inertia of the spacecraft, meaning that you will need to generate more energy to alter its trajectory through space-time. As general relativity advocates like to say, mass tells space-time how to curve, and space-time tells mass how to move. So maybe this is another adjustment that we need to make to the Starship Enterprise before it's actually built. Over the course of this series, we've ascertained that the Enterprise's essential geometry is sound, with a low surface-to-volume ratio that promotes radiative heat loss. However, since warp drive is pretty much science fantasy, the Enterprise's nacelles would instead be linear particle accelerators that would enable fusion-driven ion drive propulsion at potentially very fast, though still subliminal, speeds. And now we need to modify the saucer section to generate artificial gravity, presuming that this is where the crew will spend most of their time. The artificial gravity would be achieved by spinning the saucer horizontally and adjusting its internal architecture so that its decks are aligned radially rather than horizontally, so that the outermost sidewall of the rotating saucer would become its ground floor deck. Of course, the position of the bridge might need more consideration, since its traditional place in the centre of the saucer means it would be in almost zero G, which doesn't seem healthy for the captain or senior officers, who always need to be in pretty good shape to fight off all those aliens with lumpy bits on their foreheads.